Good morning. Today's daf actually is Bava Basra 82. And just to get back into the flow of things, the Gemara is trying to understand the view of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, and the Chachamim, the view of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, that if a person bought a single tree in somebody else's field, or if he bought, according to the Chacham, if he bought two trees in somebody else's field, so then he brings the Bikurim, but he doesn't make the declaration. So the Gemara proposed, and maybe the logic of this idea, of this ruling, is that really, Rabbi Meir, in the case of buying a single tree, or the Chachamim, in the case of buying two trees, are in a state of doubt. They're not sure. Maybe the person has bought land, maybe he hasn't bought land. And since there's a state of doubt, they're saying, bring Bikurim, because maybe he did get land. And he could say, Al Adama Shenasatali. Don't make a declaration, because maybe he didn't get land. So the Gemara asked, maybe then he is obligated because maybe he did get land. And here he can't make the declaration. We have a rule, when you have a mitzvah and you cannot carry out an aspect of it, even if that aspect is not normally required, the fact that you don't have the ability to carry it out is required. That makes it disqualified. So here, can't make a declaration. So the Gemara answers, okay, maybe the case is like this. There's a doubt in terms of whether he's obligated. And now on the bottom of Pei Aleph and Beis, it's Avid Luhu Kreb Yosef Reb Chanina. The way he brings the Bikurim is in the way of Reb Yosef Reb Chanina. The Amar who said, Batzran Rishagon Biyad Shliach. If a person picked the fruit, but he sent it in the hands of an emissary, even if the emissary dies along the way, the fruit is delivered, but there is no declaration. My taima, because he was of the opinion, that the only time there's a declaration is if it's vilakachta veheveisa. If you will pick and you will bring. So starting out today's daf, the same person does the picking and he does the bringing. And that's not what's going on. So therefore, that would be a case when there is no obligation to make a declaration. So we asked, if there's a doubt, let him make a declaration. Because maybe he does have to make a declaration. And here he's not making the declaration. He can't make the declaration. That should disqualify the bringing. The answer is no. It's a case where, based on other reasons, not the reason of doubt, based on the fact that there is an emissary involved, there's no room for a declaration, there's no obligation of a declaration, and therefore, he could bring Bikurim without a declaration. Amar le Rav Acha b'rei Rav Avaya l'Rav Ashi. So, Rav Acha, the son of Rav Avaya, said to Rav Ashi, Mechti, let's take a look. At the end of the day, if you bring the Bikurim and make a declaration, what are you doing? You're just saying a couple of verses. So Likri, you can always read Torah, whether the land does belong to you or maybe it didn't belong to you, who cares? You're just reading some verses of Torah. What's wrong with that? Amar Lei, Rav Ashi answered, Rav Acha, the son of Rav Avaya, Mishum Demechzi Keshikra. It's true, it's just a bunch of words of Torah. But it looks like a falsehood. If a person bought two trees within the field of somebody else, or he bought a single tree in the field of somebody else, according to Rabbi Meir, we're not sure he owns land. For him to make the declaration, thank you God for the land that you've given to me, it looks like a falsehood. Maybe God didn't give him land. Maybe he doesn't own land. So there's something wrong about saying things that create a misimpression. Rav Misharshia, Bered Rav Chia Amar, there's another reason why he can't make the declaration. We're not sure if it's really Bikurim. If you would make the declaration, people will say, oh, it's certainly Bikurim. He made the declaration. And if they'll think it's certainly Bikurim, then they'll think that this fruit is exempt from Truma and Maaser, from all the gifts that have to be given to the Kohen and the Levi and the poor and Jerusalem. And really, we're not sure it's Bikurim. We can't say that there's an exemption of those gifts. So therefore, he shouldn't make the declaration, because if he makes the declaration, other people might make that mistake. Okay, so that completes the topic of how to bring Bikurim when we are in a state of doubt. Let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if a man bought two trees in someone else's field, so according to the Tanakhama, he did not get the land between the trees. Rabbi Meir said he did get the land between the trees. Therefore, according to the Tanakhama, who says since he didn't get the land between the trees, we actually have this interesting scenario that Kim was, toying with yesterday. If he doesn't get the land between the trees, he doesn't get the land underneath the trees. So he owns the trees. What's the role of the land that the trees are in? The land has to support these trees. He doesn't own the land, but there's sort of a lien on the land to be supporting his trees. So therefore, if his tree branches grow out wide, the landowner is not allowed to trim them, even though those branches are harming his field. He can't trim them because his entire field is obligated for these trees. However, if the trees get cut down, if something grows out of the trunk, then the buyer owns it because he owns the trees. If something grows out of the roots, the buyer doesn't own it because he never owned the land. If it grows out of the roots, it's growing out of the land. That belongs to the seller. And if the tree dies, he can't replant them. Yeah.
So a question. If you own the trees but not the land, you have two trees but not the land, and we're not specified by a separation between them, there's no distance that we talk about. So if it's close and the roots are growing out underneath, does the owner of the land have the right to dig a hole in between the two trees and plant the tree? Because in doing so, he would probably kill this tree because he would destroy the roots.
So I guess not.
That's a dilemma, because
I guess not.
And the land is really...
I guess he can't really because he's... Well, again, I think the right way to say it is not so much that the land belongs. There's a particular usage of the land. There's some restrictions on how the land can be used, but the land still belongs to the seller, so much so that if the tree dies, then that guy's done, and he can do anything he wants now with the land.
Right, but they're saying if something grew out of the root of the tree...
It would belong to the seller, not to the buyer.
So the root, even though it's an integral part of the tree...
Because the root is under the ground. That's right, it belongs to the seller. And what comes out of it would belong to the seller.
It's like the land is leased, but no money is...
Good. The land is leased. That's a nice way to put it.
Does it symbolize something else? Is this a metaphor? Or
no,
we,
not literally.
Talking trees?
Yeah, trees. So going back. So the Mishnah says, Igdilu, if the branches grow out, lo yishve, the seller cannot trim the trees. Then the Mishnah went further. It said, if the branches grow out of the trunk, the buyer gets the branches. If it grows out of the roots, then the seller gets the branches. Heichidami min hageza. What's the definition of growing out of the trunk? Heichidami min hasharashim. What's the definition of growing from the roots? Amar Rabbi Yochanan answered, Kol sharoa pnei chama, if the shoot sees the face of the sun. In other words, it's already up above the ground, and out of that things are growing. Zeo min hageza, that's from the trunk that the buyer can keep. She'eino roa pnei chama, but if what it's growing out of is growing out of a piece that doesn't see the sun, in other words, it's growing from a piece that's under the ground, zeo min hasharashim, that's growing from the roots, that's growing from the ground, which belongs to the seller. Asks the Gemara, why do we say that if it grows from the trunk, that the buyer can keep it? V'leichos, but why aren't we worried? Dilma maska aras yirtel. Maybe the ground is going to gather around this part that grew from the trunk. And you'll have multiple branches growing from the trunk. You have this little trunk, let's say three tvachim coming out of the ground. A branch grows out over here. A branch grows out to the left. A branch grows out to the other direction, one to the east, one to the west, one to the north. And then there's sand or dust that eventually coalesces around these branches. We've said that the branches belong to the buyer. The buyer, after a couple of years, is going to say, I own all the land in between these trees. Because these are three separate trees. I bought three trees. When you buy three trees, everybody agrees that he owns the land in between. So the Gemara asks, V'leichos, why aren't we worried? Dilma maska aras yirtel. Maybe the land, the soil will end up with soil deposits. V'amar leh, and the buyer is going to then falsely claim tlasas vinantli. These three branches are not three branches of one tree. They're three different trees. You sold me three trees, and if I bought three trees, it's the ara. Then I do own land between them. Ela amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman therefore said, when the Mishnah says that what grows out of the trunk belongs to the buyer, it doesn't mean that it belongs to the buyer and the buyer can leave it. The buyer can't leave it because that would enable abuse, or the buyer might falsely claim that what grew out of the trunk is not just a branch, it's a tree. And he actually had three trees. But rather what it means is like this, that if he bought a tree, or two trees, and then trees get cut down, if there's a trunk and new things grow out of the trunk, Yakutzi can cut what grows out and keep those shoots and, you know, use it as firewood. But not that he could leave those branches growing out and say, oh, I have that's a right of mine in your field, because that might lead to abuse, where he might claim that he bought three trees because of the sand coalescing around the branches, and then he might be stealing land. That's also the way Rabbi Yochanan explained the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that the buyer is entitled to what comes out of the trunk, it doesn't mean he's entitled to leave what comes out of the trunk there. He's entitled to yakut. He's entitled to cut down what comes out of the trunk and use it as firewood. Question?
To establish the perimeter around the trees, is that established by the crown of the branches? Is that...
Well, in this case, where he doesn't own any land in the field, no matter how far it goes, it can keep going.
The branch can be going out.
Yeah.
And the...
Nobody can cut it.
Nobody can cut it, right? So,
I mean, the seller can't cut it.
Right. So if there is a third tree that grows there over time...
That's not his. That's not what he bought, because the third tree is going to grow out of the ground. Whatever grows out of the ground belongs to the seller.
Am I misunderstanding that if the tree grows anything, basically from anywhere, the seller has the right to cut it down? It's only he owns what it looked like when he bought it.
No, if it grows from the roots, the seller can cut down. But what from the trunk, that belongs to the buyer.
So that's what you see. You said the seller can cut down stuff that grows off of the trunk.
No, we're saying the buyer can cut what cuts off the trunk. If the tree was cut down and what's left is a trunk, then what comes out of that trunk, the buyer can cut. We're not saying that the buyer can leave that, because if the buyer would be able to leave that, once you have a tree and you cut down a tree and new things are growing out of the stump, what grows out of the stump might be mischaracterized and misrepresented as a whole bunch of trees. That you can't do. Rav Nachman said, Naktina, we have a rule. We have a tradition from our teachers. Dekel ein lo geza. That when you have a date tree, you don't have the rule of trunk. Okay, what does that mean? Savar Rav Zvid lemeimar. Rav Zvid figured it meant like this. Ein lo geza lebal dekel. That if a man bought only a single date tree in somebody else's field, he has no right to cut the shoots that will come out of that trunk. To cave under the mechbul l'sharish kite. Because when you have a single date tree, you know that once it's going to stop producing dates, you're going to uproot the tree. Right? You're not going to be able to get anything from it because you can't replant because you don't own the field. So therefore, if it was cut down and we're on our way to being uprooted, he gives up hope of ever getting things from the shoots, and therefore if the shoots do grow, he's not entitled to them. Maskefler of Papa, Papa challenges. But what happens if our Mishnah, the Mishnah says a guy who buys two trees in somebody else's field, that's also the Mechper Lemishrish Kaimi. There's these two trees, once they are cut down, once they're not producing fruits, they're going to be uprooted. You can't replant them. But the Mishnah says explicitly that if they were cut down and there's a stump and things grow out of the stump, the buyer is entitled to what grows out of the stump. Alam Rav Papa, so Rav Papa explained like this. Ein lo geza lebal dekel. When a person buys a date tree, a single date tree in someone else's field, he's not entitled to anything that will come out of the trunk, even before it's cut down. Lefi shein motzi geza. Because the trunk of a date tree normally doesn't produce shoots. All the shoots are coming from the top of the tree. So since it normally doesn't produce shoots, he gave up on ever getting any shoots from the trunk. Therefore, if a shoot actually did come out, he's not entitled to it. He had already given up on it. Rav Zvid asks the Gemara, but what about our Mishnah? The Mishnah says that when you have two trees in someone else's field, you only own the trees, you didn't own the ground between them, and the trees were cut down, then you are entitled to what comes out of the trunk. Why are you entitled to what comes out of the trunk? Why don't we say that a person gives up, so and therefore he's not entitled to it, the way Rav Zvid said. So the Gemara explains, Rav Zvid will say that the case of the Mishnah is the Zabin L'Chameh Shanim, where he bought the tree for 5 years. So since I bought the two trees from my friend for 5 years, that meant that if the trees would come down, I have a right to replant them to get 5 years' worth of trees from this field. So then, since I have a right of replanting, then I don't despair of getting anything from it once it shrivels, because I know I can replant. So that would be the case when I'm entitled to something from the trunk. But Rav Zvid was thinking that when you have a date tree and you're not entitled to replant, so then if it gets cut down, you've already given up on getting anything from it, you're not entitled to anything from the trunk.
So Rabbi, the usage of the land immediately below the tree, like a date tree.
Right.
Goes to whom? The owner of the tree, presumably, right? Because otherwise, how can you pick the dates? I mean, how can you benefit?
I use a drone, helicopter.
But the owner of the land could cultivate the land
all around. We're going to see that. The Gemara is going to talk about that question, about the land all around. Mishnah says, Kana Shlosha, if I buy three trees in my friend's field, Kana Karka, I did get land between them. But Kama, how much land do I get? If I bought three trees, I get the land underneath the trees. Ubeinehen, and the land between the trees. Vechutzalan, and outside the trees. Kimlo orevisalo, enough land for the picker to walk around with his basket. So three things. Maskevler Belazar. So Belazar, 1 second. Let's go back. We've learned earlier an argument between Rabbi Akiva and L'Chachamim. When I sell to you a well that's in my backyard, do you now have to come back to me and also buy a path? Or do we say including the well was the path? Rabbi Akiva says, a seller sells generously, so including the well was the path. The Chacham say a seller sells stingily. He has to come back and buy a path because I did not sell him a path. So Maskefler, Belezer asked the following question. That's true about a well. So that's presumably the same thing with three trees. If I buy three trees, so the three trees are like a well in someone else's field. So it's true, I have the land in between the trees, but I just have a well. It's like a well. It's a separate area within somebody else's field. So I don't have a path to the trees. I have to now buy a path. So Ashtu Derech Eimel, if I don't have a path to the trees, or Vesala Yeshlo, I have the space for a picker to stand with the basket. I don't even have a path to get there. I'm going to have the space to walk around it.
But if there are three trees, that's not a question.
It is a question.
You still have to get to the trees. He owns the land.
No, he just owns the land underneath. But if I sold you a well, you also own the land of the well. But I didn't sell you the path.
Right.
So if I didn't sell a path to the trees, we're saying that I sold you the land around the trees to walk around?
Well, but that's not. But if you have the drone and you get dropped, there's no question you can walk there. There are three trees, right?
Well, no, we're trying to understand this. How could we say that with three trees, the man has the land both under the trees, between the trees, and around the trees? If he didn't get the land to the trees, he has the land around the trees.
Okay.
So Gemara adds. Rabbi Lazar adds to this question. Derech elo da'arach ritzahi. He doesn't have a path to the trees because we say that the trees are a separate field. So Rav Asalo Yeshlo. So we're going to say that this man who got the separate field has the space for a picker to stand with his basket. So the Gemara, this was the challenge. So Amar Abzer, Abzer said, Midivir Abenu Nilmat, from the words of our teacher Belezer, who made this challenge, we can learn the following. Shloshu de'en lo derech. If a person bought three trees, he doesn't have a path to the trees. Hashnayim, but if he bought two trees, Yeshlo, he does have a path. To Amar Le, he can tell the seller, V'aridi kaima. Here, my trees are in your land. Your land has to support my trees. So if your land has to support my trees, I'm entitled to also walk through your land to get to my trees. I'm a layer of Nachman by Yitzchak LeRava. So Rav Nachman by Yitzchak said to Rava, what? Leimer Rabbi Lazar lesle de Shmuel Rabbi. Does Rabbi Lazar not agree with Shmuel? So Amar Shmuel says, Alacha k'Rabbi Akiva, Alacha k'Rabbi Akiva. Domer mocher bayin yafe mocher, that when a person sells, he sells generously. So if halach is that when a person sells, he sells generously, so then why are you saying that when somebody sold three trees, there wouldn't even be a path, there wouldn't even be the area around the trees, and there's now no path to the trees? If the seller sold generously, there should be a path to the trees. Amar lei, so Rav answered to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and we took Bamas Nisin, Kirbi Akiva. Rabbi Lazar figured, you're right, I do agree generally, Allah is like Kirbi Akiva, that a seller sells generously. But here, in the case of the trees, he was sure Allah in the trees, it's not going like Kirbi Akiva. I mean, how did he know that the trees are not going like Kirbi Akiva? I mean, because it says over here, in the case of the trees, that if the seller sold two trees, then he can't trim the branches. If he sold three trees, then he's allowed to trim the branches that are, you know, shading his part. If it's Rabbi Akiva who says that when a person sells, he sells generously, why would the seller be allowed to trim the branches? You said that a seller sells generously. So if he sells generously, then he gives a path to an area. He also sells generously to allow the branches to keep growing over his area. So, Amar Leizer of Nachmar Yitzchak said to Rava, maybe not. Emor Dam Rabbi Akiva Gabi Borvedus. When do we say that it Rabbi Akiva says that there is a generous sale? That's in regards to the path to the pit or a cistern. The Lo Makashi Ara, because the path is not ruining the ground. The pit and the cistern are not ruining the field. So we say that the path, the right of way was given to the buyer. But Gabi Elon, but to say that a man who sells generously is going to allow the tree in his field to keep growing out and to shade over his stuff. Gabi Elon Mishamale. Did we ever hear such a thing? According to Rabbi Akiva, Milo Modi Rabbi Akiva, Bilan Anotla Tokste Chavero. Doesn't Rabbi Akiva say that if you have a tree going into your friend's field, that the friend, Kotzitz Malo Mardea Gabi Machresha, the friend can cut enough branches down to enable him to ride on an ox with his stick, his ox goad, to be able to hit the ox to make it plow better. So you see that when there is damage to the neighbor is allowed to cut branches, even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says people are Mr. Generous. So too in our case, when there are branches ruining his field, of course he can trim it. That doesn't mean it's against Rabbi Akiva. That's like Rabbi Akiva. So, therefore, the Gemara says that the whole idea of Rabbi Lazar, that the Mishnah is against Rabbi Akiva, is rejected. The Mishnah is not against Rabbi Akiva. The fact that the Mishnah says that if branches are of the trees that a person bought and the land between them, if those branches are spreading out, the owner of the seller, the owner of the field, can trim those branches, that's understandable because those branches are causing him damage. And going back to the question, does the person who bought the trees have rights to walk around the trees when picking the fruit? Maybe. You say, oh, but he doesn't have the path. How could he have the right to walk around? Maybe he does have the path. Maybe we're following Rabbi Akiva. He does have the path.
Regardless of whether it's two or three trees?
With three trees.
No, but it's kind of like
only three trees.
Yeah.
A strange analysis, and I can't put it together, but if you have your home and your neighbor has a tree and it grows onto your property, the branches, you're allowed to cut down the branches.
Correct.
But he is not allowed to come to your property and cut down the branches.
Okay. You know, but in his on his side, he can cut.
He can, right. If he can reach it from his side, he can do it.
Yeah, he can take a ladder and cut.
So, Rabbi, in the three trees, there is a possibility that there is a path and you can go underneath and pick the fruit.
Yeah.
And in two trees, he needs to have a helicopter.
In two trees.
Nobody is saying that maybe he has the path and maybe he has the right to go underneath. No, he doesn't have no path. And no right to be underneath the tree.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You literally have to pick from the top.
Maybe. Yeah, they anticipated drones. Tanya Kavasa to Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Let's go back to Reb Chiya Bar Abba. We have a braisa like Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Reb Chiya Bar Abba says when a man buys three trees in someone else's field, Harizakana Tachdani has acquired the area underneath them, Uveinim, and between them, Vechutzalahen. And what is outside of them, Kimlo Orevisalo, enough for a picker to stand with his basket. Amalei Abai L'Rav Yosef. Abai asked the following question to Rav Yosef. Osan Orevisalo, that area where the picker could stand with his basket, Mizoron, who's allowed to plant that area? The buyer or the seller of the trees? Amalei Rav Yosef said to Nitua, we learned that the seller is the one who's allowed to plant. The seller is the one who has the right to plant. Because we learned that achitzon zorea saderech. We learned that if I buy a garden inside, and there's a garden outside, so I have a right of way to walk through the outer garden to get to my garden, but even though I have a right of way, the owner of the outer garden is allowed to plant up his whole garden. So to here, I have the right to stand with my basket to pick the fruit, but the seller is the one who's allowed to plant all around that tree.
Not inside the crown, right?
Yeah, no, this crown is certainly mine, the buyer's.
Like underneath the
crown. Underneath, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
Izzy? No, I'm just saying that the person that like Rabbi Akiva, that the Tochaber, if he's not smart, good luck to him, but if he's smart, you will always make a deal that you're giving me a part.
Okay, that's another good point. True. Yeah, well, that's true. Amar Le, Abaya said to Rav Yosef, me dummy, how is it comparable? Hasam over there in the access, les le pseidel lokeach. In other words, the owner of the inner garden doesn't lose when the outer garden plants, because he can just walk on those plants. But over here, if the buyer of the trees, the area around the trees will be planted by the seller, he's going to have a loss. Because the buyer can tell the seller, Kamitanfi Peri, my fruits are getting ruined and they fall on what you planted. So, therefore, the Gemara rejected what we just said. So hello Damya, maybe the case of the area around the tree, the area of the picker, is hello Damya l'seifa. It's only like the other case of that Mishnah. The Zev is Zeh ain Rishayin l'zora. Neither the owner of the inner garden nor the owner of the outer garden may plant a path when they both agree to the path. So maybe here too, no one can plant this area for the picker, where the picker has to stand. Tanya Kavase da Abaye, we have a brisa like Abaye, or is a kana tachtenu veinehen. When you buy three trees, you buy what's under the trees and what's between the trees. V'chutzalehen kimlo ora v'salo, and what's around the tree for the picker. But zevize einan rashayin lizora. Neither the buyer nor the seller may see the area between the trees. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful day.